Mabel Louise joining us here.
Good
Hello.
Good morning. Yes, and we want those precious people to watch for that.
Yes.
Because that's so dangerous. Yes, it is a nice rainy day in Chippewa Valley. I'm looking out the studio window and the rain is coming down and the cars are just flying by and the puddles flying. Well, I'm so thankful because really, we needed it. And Terry and Carol's garden is so beautiful. God's given us so much nice rain and nice sunshine. And yesterday, they stopped by and gave us some leaf lettuce. You know, that yellow, beautiful leaf. Yummy, yummy for the tummy. Aren't those fresh vegetables delicious? I love the good old summertime. Well, I've been on a series of knowing God and knowing about God, and knowing God is your personal choice, meaning you can accept Christ as your Savior or you have a personal choice to reject Him. And my prayer, of course, is that you will either come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you know Him, that you'll become better acquainted. So today, my subject is, who is Jesus? And before I get into my message, here's my verses for the day. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Who is Jesus? I hope you want to know more information if you know him. And if you don't, I hope your ears will perk up and you'll listen and let the Lord speak to you. Well, if you should read the scriptures, you could go to Matthew 16, Mark 8, Luke 9, and John 6. And let me read. It's the title of that little section of the scripture is called Peter's Confession of Christ. Let me read from Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now remember, I told you all four Gospels carry this portion of Scripture. So it must seem very important to the Lord. So listen and see what you can learn. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this was Jesus' answer. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. So you get the basis now of my message, giving you scriptures that will tell you who Jesus is. Let me give you a verse from John 8. He said, meaning Jesus said, before Abraham I was, I am. And then on Matthew he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's taken from John chapter 8. Then he also said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then he said to the woman at the well, as she stated, I know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Perhaps you're asking the question that has been asked of so many. How could God become flesh? The Bible says in John the first chapter that he became flesh and dwelt among us. What does that mean? Well, the best way that I could explain it to you, I think, was by giving you two examples. I found this story written by Dr. H.I. Ironside. He was the former Moody pastor at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago and a famous preacher of God's Word. He wrote many books. And his answer to this question, how could God become flesh, is so beautifully illustrated by his illustration that was in my file. Dr. Ironside said this, I have a friend who is a Hindu whom some of you may have met. So apparently he was someone well known in his area. He had been a professor in a college in India, and at that time he was a Buddhist, and before he had been a Brahmin. His hungry heart had not found satisfaction in either of these religions, and he became interested in Christianity. He came upon and against the great doctrine of the incarnation. God became man. And he said, I can't believe that the supreme God would ever degrade himself to become a man. But this thought was in his mind day and night, trying to figure it out. One day, he was out in the field. You know and realize that a good Buddhist will never kill any living creature. So as this Hindu professor was walking about, he was attracted to a large anthill. Thousands of little creatures busy gathering food. He noticed that as his shadow came between them and the sun, there was a great movement among them. Whether their eyes were of such character that they could observe a great giant was standing over them, I do not know. Excuse me. He noticed, and the shadow came between them. Whether their eyes were what could be observed, that a great giant was standing over them, I really don't know. But the ants were frightened, and they ran around hither and thither. So when he stepped to one side, he noticed that they went on with their various ant activities. He stepped back again so that his shadow fell across the anthill. But this time, he remained quietly there for 10 minutes. And soon he noticed that the ants ceased to be disturbed. And as he stood there looking down at them, he said, "I wish I could make those little creatures understand my feelings toward them. They are evidently frightened because they don't know who I am or how I really feel. Perhaps they're afraid that I'm some great monster that would crush them between my feet. How I would like to be able to give them to understand that I have nothing but compassion in my heart for every living creature." And then he stood there, and this thought came to him. "There is only one way that I could ever do that. If it would be possible for me in some way to compress my mentality into the brain of an ant, so that I would have all of the ant's instincts and be able to communicate with my fellow ants, and yet have a man mind. I could do it then. In that way, I would be able to make known to those little creatures just how this man feels toward them. And then, in a moment, it flashed. That is exactly what God has done in the incarnation. That's what God has done in the person of Christ. He has come so near to his poor, suffering, sinning creatures that he has compressed deity into a body, into humanity of a man, and thus he is able to make God known to us." And the Hindu said, "I turned away from that anthill a real Christian." Our Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Yes, he is the firstborn of all creation. He comes into this world as a man, and God says, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." This has to do with his virgin birth. It's not his eternal generation that's in view in the second psalm. There was no day in which he was begotten as the eternal son, but on a given day, foreknown from all eternity, he was begotten in the virgin's womb as the divine son, the firstborn of all creation. Isn't that a beautiful story? I hope that that gave you a little glimpse of why Jesus came to earth as a man in the flesh. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.